That's kind of early for some of our listeners. Brother Scott Evans and his family out in Colorado, and Lars and Kathy Kemp. I guess this will be a breakfast message for them because they usually tune in every service. But glad that you're here. This is, of course, usually our 10 o'clock hour when we meet back in the fellowship hall, and we're meeting out here in the auditorium today and having two preachers. We have some folks here from out of town, and we thought we'd actually have more than stay over than did. But for those that are here, we really appreciate you being here today. Of course, the wedding was last night, and many have stayed over for the service this morning, and we appreciate that very much. This is what I would call a comfortable crowd. And by that, I mean everybody's got room to stretch out and lay down on a pew somewhere. So if you want to. But anyway, if you would turn to Acts chapter 17, Acts 17, and I want to read a few verses there. This is not where we're really going to be studying, but I want to start here in Acts chapter 17 in verse 16. And by the way, I'm going to do like Brian Sykes says, I'm not going to hold you very long because we still have a lot of donuts and coffee back there that need to be consumed. So we'll take a break about 20 till 11. And then we'll be back in here at 11 o'clock, and our next service, our preaching will start at 11:15. And hopefully by then we will have located the wireless mic, because every time Jerry preaches here, people tell me, wire Jerry up, because he won't stand behind the podium. So if we don't find the microphone, we're going to handcuff him to the podium here so he can't walk around. But anyway, Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would not know, therefore, what these things mean." And I would submit to you that to many people, what Paul preaches today are strange things. What we preach today is strange to people, but that's not really the message. Verse 21, "For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Now, I want to talk to you this morning about the Word of God, and specifically about the light that the Word of God sheds. But I wanted to start here because I see something, and Brother Jerry and I were talking about this briefly last night, among many grace believers, that all of a sudden there's all of these new things, these new doctrines that seem to be popping up. And I always ask myself the question, as far as I can remember and find out, that the Bible we use is the KJV 1611. Now, I realize there was a revision of some punctuation and so forth. I think it was in 1701, something like that. What was it? What was the year? Somebody remember? 1749. Anyway, in the 1700s. But even at that, we have had the completed Word of God for a real long time. Now, I want to ask you something. Is there anything new in this book that hasn't been there all along? No, there's not. Now, preachers have tried to add to it by their independent revelations. The Lord told me thus and so. Translators have tried to add to it or take away from it by changing the words, the verses, and so forth. But we've got a book here that we believe is the Word of God. If you would, turn back to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. One of the reasons I wanted to do this, preparation for Bible school. We're going to be talking about, with our young people, walking in the light. And each night there will be a message on different things about the light of God's Word, the light given through the Apostle Paul, the light of the glorious gospel, and walking in the light, those kind of things. And in looking at those verses, about the same time, I received an email from an individual that had sent me links to all kind of videos and information about the earth being flat. Now, several weeks back, Billy had sent me a text, and he said, "Did you get that text or did you get that message on Facebook from somebody?" And they called their name, and I need to ask Billy who that was because I can't remember. And so I was asking Jerry about this, and he said he had heard things like this years ago. And these are grace believers. These are people that believe the Bible means what it says. And so after several exchanges with this individual really pushing me to listen to these videos, which were some an hour long, and read this information, I said, "Let me just ask you this one question. If the earth is flat, how does that change the ministry of reconciliation that God has committed to me as an ambassador of Jesus Christ?" He wrote back and said, "Well, I don't guess it does." And I said, "You're right. It does not." Now, I believe that we ought to study the Bible. And I believe that we should dig, and I know that there's verses that are hard to be understood. But these things that come up, and by the way, what I found interesting is when this man was trying to get me to look at all of this, he gave me about six words and told me to trace these back to the Hebrew and see what they really meant. And I said, "Well, I think they really mean what they really say. And I don't need the Hebrew and Greek." Why? Because I have an English Bible. Now, in Psalms 119, verse 105, the Bible says there, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look over in verse 130. Verse 130. The psalmist says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." Now we know that God Almighty spoke to men in Old Testament times. We know that he spoke originally to Adam and Eve, and I don't know how all that was conveyed, but God spoke, the Bible says, and so I believe he spoke to them. He spoke unto the prophets, and the prophets wrote down the scriptures in the Old Testament. And so we have the Word of God in existence from day one of creation. And matter of fact, in the beginning, God said. You remember, every time, it's what God said that brought about the result. And so God's Word has always been in existence from the beginning of time. If you turn over to John chapter 1, in John chapter 1, we find out that Jesus Christ, just like we have the living word, that the nation Israel had in their presence the living word. And what's interesting is that just as Israel rejected the spoken word in the Old Testament by rejecting the prophets, as Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, that they had always rejected the truth of God, Jesus Christ comes on the scene, and in John chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life," now notice, "and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Notice in verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Look over in verse 6. "There was a man," excuse me, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe." And you will notice there in verse 7, the light is capitalized. "He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. There was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And so Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And he's said to be so here. And he is spoken of, by the way, down in verse 14, the Word was made flesh. What was that Word? It was the light. The light from God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld what? His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus Christ came, the light came into the world. And he came into his own, but his own received him not. Look over in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now I can assure you that this verse is, it is dispensational as far as the doctrine here being presented in John chapter 3, but the truth of the verse is always true. Men love darkness rather than light. Darkness is always associated with the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It's always associated with Satan. And why is it that men rejected Jesus Christ? Because they loved darkness rather than light. Those Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, why Jesus Christ, he upset their apple cart. He was messing with their religion. He was messing with their system. You know what? He was getting in their pockets. He was getting into where the money was. You remember what happened over in Acts chapter 19? When those people came out of the temple of Diana, those craftsmen said, hey, this man Paul is destroying our craft. The shrines and the idols that we were making, people are turning away from that. You start messing with people's ability to gain filthy lucre, especially in a religious sense, they're going to hate the light. They're going to turn from the light. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. You know what the light does? It exposes things. You ever been in a restaurant and it was real dim and dark in there? And every time I do that, you know, in addition to enjoying the food, I'm thinking, I wonder what this place looks like when it's really lit up. Maybe there's a reason they've got these lights so low in here. You know, you go to a restaurant around time, it starts getting dark, and the old saying was, the lights go down and the prices go up. Well, there's some things. I remember when I was working on Kim's house over there, we tore out the whole basement, and so I decided that I could do the sheetrock. Big mistake on my part. But anyway, I hung all the sheetrock, and then I began to mud the sheetrock, and I put the first two coats on there and sanded it down. I thought, man, that looks good. But it's in a basement. And the light down there was just simply a little light that we had rigged up because we were rewiring it all down there. And so what I did, I went and got one of these lights that's on a stand. And I took it down there, and they said to shine it almost parallel with the wall. And when I did that, I wished I had not. Because the light manifested a lot of imperfections that I could not see. When I stood looking straight at that wall, it looked perfect. When I stood down there and looked down the wall, not only was the sheetrock not finished properly, but it had these waves in it like this. And I thought, well, nobody's ever going to have this light again, so I'll just leave it like it is. No, I worked on it for another 2 weeks, sanding, mudding, and finally, I said with it, and to heck with it. And I said, they're going to have to live with it like it is. The point in all that, folks, is that the light of God's Word shines upon things that men don't like exposed. Religion doesn't like exposed. And so what do? They'd rather be in darkness. Because light always exposes error and false teaching and sin and that type of thing. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, you notice what is it? He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You see, if you are teaching the Word of God, and you are honestly proclaiming the Scriptures as they're written, you don't have to worry about the light exposing error. I was getting an illustration back there this morning about a man that invited me to his house, and he had been visiting churches, and his wife had met Mary, and she had learned a bit about what we believed, and he asked me to come to his house, and we sat there for 2 hours one Saturday afternoon from 5 o'clock to 7, and he would ask me a question, and I would flip in the Scriptures, and I would give him the answer that I could find. I never one time that I can remember said, well, my opinion is this. After 2 hours, I told him, I said, Randy, I've got to go. We've got some other plans later this evening. And he said, well, I appreciate you coming over. I'll see you in church tomorrow. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, I've asked several people to do exactly what you've done. And he said, you're the only one that opened the Scripture and showed me what the Bible says about these things. Everybody else was telling me what they believed about it. Now, that had nothing to do with me, folks. It had to do with a source that I had, the Word of God. You see, that's where we put our reliance. And that's why the Bible says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither that cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Cometh to the light. You see, we come to the light. We don't run away from it. And when the Bible says something that we don't like or agree with or that hurts us, it's not our position or responsibility to change it, to make it fit some new doctrine, some new fad or whatever. It's our responsibility to believe it. Believe it means what it says, where it says it, to whom it says it. So there was that light. Look over in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Well, we know what the end of Jesus Christ's life was. It was death on the cross. Why? Because mankind rejected the light. Oh, there were some that believed. There were those that followed Christ. There were those that believed he was Messiah. There were those that he taught and trained to preach this gospel that he said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Then shall the end come. And so there were those that believed. But the religious system, the religious leaders of that day, the political leaders of that day, they rejected the light. And so what did they do? They took that light and they hung it on a cross. In effect, what Satan's desire was to put out the light, because men love darkness rather than light. And you remember what happened when Jesus Christ gave up the ghost? There was darkness. There was darkness, folks, signifying that when the light is not present, darkness prevails. And Jesus Christ died. But 3 days later, the light came forth, resurrected from that grave, raised for our justification. And those men that he had trained carried out the ministry of proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ. Peter said, that same Jesus whom you've crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. But again, what did Israel do? They rejected the light given through the 12. Stephen, preaching in Acts chapter 7, what did they do to him? They stoned him. they put out the light of the Word of God that he was proclaiming. And so what happened? Look in Acts chapter 9. You know where I'm going here. God Almighty saved a rebellious, blaspheming Jew. And how all this comes about is not a mistake or coincidence. In verse 3, talking about Saul, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What did Paul see there? He saw the light. He was struck by the light. Look over in Acts chapter 22. In Acts 22. In Acts 22, verse 6, it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone round about heaven a great light about me. Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul in a light. Look in Acts chapter 26. In Acts 26. In Acts 26:13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Notice now, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Well, how was that going to be done? Well, look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. Y'all thought I was going to verse 4. Every one of you did. And I am, but I'm going to read verse 6 first. Notice what Paul says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Why? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now there's some words there that are associated that you need to pay attention to. Light, knowledge. Where does light come from today? From the Word of God. But not just from the Word of God, because there are many people that carry a Bible around. They pound on it, say, I believe this book, and they're still in darkness. You know why? Because they do not do what God says to do, and that is to rightly divide the Word of truth and acknowledge the apostle to whom God gave the message that would turn their eyes from darkness to light. And so they remain in darkness while believing the historical facts, believing the historical accounts, but not believing the truth of salvation by grace given to and through the Apostle Paul. Earlier in the chapter, notice what Paul says there in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. How is it hid? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who is the light? In other words, who is it that's blinded, those that believe not. You want the light of the Word of God? You're going to have to believe it. And if you don't believe it, you're going to be in darkness. And the world lieth in darkness today because, not that they do bad things, but because they receive not the love of the truth. They do not believe the Word of God. And that is the only real light that there is in this world today. And that light will always dispel the darkness of ignorance and confusion and false teaching. Men love darkness rather than light. And they will go to the darkness. You hear about people going to the dark side. I mean, just watch some of these movies and stuff. You know, darkness is always portrayed as the evil and the bad. And that's because it is. Well, Paul said that we preach the wisdom of God in a mystery. Because if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Can't you imagine old Satan there? You know, he's back there in Matthew chapter 4 and he offers Jesus Christ to all the kingdoms of the world and Jesus Christ rejects all that. And what does Jesus Christ do in each instance? He uses the Word of God. He uses the Word of God. And so, finally, there he is hanging on that cross. And I can imagine Satan's just sitting down there thinking, well, I've won now. You know, it's like that old villain type thing. He's twisting his big mustache and I've won now. And 3 days later, Jesus Christ came forth resurrected. And Satan said, foiled again. But then the 12 begin to preach. One day 3,000 get saved. Another 5,000 get saved. And people are believing the message and the little flock is growing. So what does Satan do? Once again, he uses the religious leaders to say these men are teaching false. They must be put to death. They have to be stopped. And so they do so. And then in Acts chapter 9, here comes this man, Saul, a blaspheming Jew. And God saves him and gives him the ministry. And begins to declare through him that salvation. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Well then, what is Satan going to do now? He's going to corrupt the message that brings the light. You see, that's the only tool today, folks. The battle is for the mind. The battle is for the mind of individuals and cause them to believe that there's something they can do in their flesh to be saved, because that's what he desires, is for them to believe that. And what does he do? He blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. How does he do that? Well, Paul says back in chapter 3 that when they preach the law, the veil is still upon their face. It's darkened. You see, people blind people from the light by a false light, if you will. By counterfeiting that which God is doing. That's always the way Satan has worked throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, when the prophets performed miracles, what did the devil do? He had men that performed miracles. When Jesus Christ was doing miracles, you remember what they said to him? They said, well, you're doing this by the spirit of Beelzebub. And then, when Paul comes forth preaching this gospel, this glorious gospel of salvation by grace through faith, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, what did Satan do? He corrupted it. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians 11, verse 3, he says, I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Look in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of what? Light. You see, Satan is duplicating today, trying to duplicate what Christ is doing, but he perverts it and he changes it, and he preaches another Jesus and another spirit, another gospel. Look over in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. You're familiar with all these things, I'm sure, but it speaks to the very thing that we're talking about here. We have the light, folks. The light of the glorious gospel. Paul's preaching that gospel everywhere he goes. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You see, the devil wants to put out the light. The light given through the Apostle Paul. The light given through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. So what is all this about anyway? What is this? Why is Satan opposed? Well, Mark and I talked about this the other night, and I've heard Jerry make mention of this. And it makes an interesting study. But I believe that there's a significant amount of information that would indicate that we're going to be ruling in the heavens. It's very possible that we might be filling up some positions that were previously vacated by the devil and his angels. I don't know that to be a fact, but it would indicate that it would look like that to me. But regardless of that, there's some reason that the devil doesn't want people to get saved. It may be that because he knows that when the last one gets saved, that his end is near. But regardless of that, he doesn't want people saved. Well, if the gospel is the power of God to salvation, then what does he have to do? All he has to do is pervert the gospel, change the gospel. Blind people might. Another thing I've noticed, and this man that sent me this information, who is a dear brother in Christ, I mean, I don't dislike the fellow, but he even mentioned, I said, I see a real trend in the grace movement of people wanting to find some new thing, and he said, yes, and that disturbs me as well, particularly what people are doing with the gospel. People that used to stand true to the fact that that gospel is the power of God's salvation. Some say now that's not enough. You got to know more. You got to dig deeper. You got to understand certain truths. Saw one lady, known her for years, posted on Facebook a couple of years ago. If you didn't know that Jesus Christ went to hell and suffered for your sin there, you weren't saved. Well, come on, folks. Paul said the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And he tells us what that is. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But is now made manifest. In other words, it was kept secret. It was not made known, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Notice now, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see what he brought to light through the gospel? He brought to light how you can live forever. He brought to light how men who were never in the covenants of promise, strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world, could be part of the family of God and have eternal life. And that had never been made known previously. I saw a post on Facebook yesterday. A man says, how to show people how to be saved or share Christ from the Old Testament. I want to put on there, why would you want to? I mean, come on, folks. Here again, all this sensationalism. You got the truth of the Word of God. You got Paul's epistles. Therein is the truth of the gospel. Preach it. Present it. Don't worry about all this other stuff of appearing smarter than everybody else or knowing something other people don't know. Our ministry is to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, preach the gospel of the grace of God so that people can get saved. And they get saved when they come to the light and receive the light and don't reject the light. And Satan is doing everything he can to pervert it and also to distract people away from the true light unto that false light. He said, it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He told us in the gospel how we can live forever, how we can know that we're saved and be secure in our salvation. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, I've just got through the first point here, so sorry, Jerry. No, I'm just kidding. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality. What did he bring to light? Immortality. Where is immortality? In Christ Jesus, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. You want to see Jesus? I mean, that's everybody's big deal, you know. Wanting to see. If we could just see him here present. Well, I want to tell you something. If he could stand, if Jesus Christ stood in this pulpit this morning preaching unto you, he would tell you exactly what's written down in this King James Bible. Because those are the words of God Almighty, his Father. And in his earthly ministry, he said he came not to do his will, but the will of the Father. Nobody has seen Christ since he appeared in Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due season. You want to see Jesus Christ? You're going to have to see him through the words of this book. As somebody said recently, you want to hear God speak? Read the Bible. You want to hear Him speak audibly? Read it out loud. You've got the light. You've got the Word. And you can give that light to other people because the whole world lieth in darkness. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And those deeds being evil doesn't just have to do with the things that we Christian people look at as being evil. It has to do with the religious system that blinds people's minds from the light of the glorious gospel. You've got that light. Share it with people every opportunity you have. Do it for Christ's sake. All right, we're going to take a break and go back.